Amen. What a comforting song. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead. We'll take our Bibles. We're we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's see here. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, this morning I was in Philippians chapter 2. And this morning I was. I brought forth a message about how we should live as believers in the midst of what we're looking at, in the midst of evil, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that we're to be lights that shine in a dark place. And then tonight, what we're going to look at is how we should live as believers when we suffer injustices. When we suffer injustices at the hands of others. That's what we're going to see in this passage. And, you know, there are tons of Bible examples. And we'll take a look at some there. And what we're going to do right now is we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2. As I mentioned, in chapter 1 all the way into chapter 2, we talked about, you know, a Christian suffering, having to go through suffering. That's what we see through 1 Peter. That's very clearly the theme. Christians going through persecution. And then we saw it in regard to the great salvation that we have. That was the emphasis of what we saw in the first chapter and then into chapter 2 all the way up to verse 10, 11, right in that point. And then we see a little bit of a shift that speaks about how we as Christians now, the importance of us as believers submitting. And we talked that last week. Last week, I wasn't able to be here. Brother Job Hale brought the message. I heard you did a great job. And so 2 weeks ago, I talked about how we as believers are commanded to submit to authorities. We see that. So that was what I talked about. We'll take a look here at verse, I'll start with verse 11. Because that was what I spoke of as well a couple of weeks ago about our conversation and that people need to see something different in our conversation. And again, that goes again with what I talked about this morning in Philippians chapter 2. But we take a look here, verse 11 of 1 Peter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, that's the having a standout testimony of being blameless, of being different, and letting people see that there's something different about you and I, and that difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see submitting. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now, for some, when you think of verse 14, or unto governors, for some it's a little harder than others, right? If you're living in the state of Michigan, this would be a little more difficult maybe to have to abide by than what we're dealing with. But the bottom line is the Lord commands us to obey those authorities. Now, we talked a couple weeks ago about when there is an exception to that. And remember, we looked in the book of Acts and we saw that the disciples, well, when push came to shove and they were told and threatened not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, well, listen, you can do whatever you want with it, but as for us, we're going to obey God rather than men. So there's a point when we put when a Christian puts his foot down and says, no, I'm not going to go against what God says. I'm not going to break God's law to abide by man's law. I've been commanded to abide by man's law. But when it crosses over, then that's when we say we're not going to go there because we're going to obey God. Amen? And we see that very, very clearly. And now we're going to take a look here, really verses 15 all the way through the end of the chapter. In regard to this suffering wrongfully. So we see here verse 15, and in fact, I'll just read verses 15 through 20 because it breaks up into two points, and we see this here. It says, for so is the will of God that with well-doing, okay, with doing well, with well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, which is what we are, because we are free in Christ, we have liberty, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So we're not to take this freedom that we have in Christ, this liberty, and just use it for, you know, wrongful means, for sinful behavior. We're commanded to do right and to live godly and holy. So Peter is saying that to these believers, don't use this liberty. Then he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So we're going to start off on that point, and what we'll do is we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about this this first point about, you know, submitting even though there are going to be times when we're going to suffer wrongfully. But that's our opportunity to allow people to take a look and see there's something different about this person. And these are the means that God has used over and over through the centuries to bring people to Christ, was to see something different. You know, you see somebody way back in the first century, and of course it's happened even since then, but we read about those martyrs, and somebody who's burning at the stake for Christ, and they're singing a hymn. I mean, what a testimony that was when people saw that and people got saved. When Saul of Tarsus sees Stephen being stoned, and he watches and he sees his face as like the face of an angel, and he sees Stephen saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and Stephen is holding the garments of those who are stoning him, that rattled Saul's cage. And that was definitely used by the Lord to bring him to Christ. And so they saw something different. And so with that, let's have a word of prayer, and then let's go ahead, we'll dive into this passage. Father, we come to you tonight and are grateful. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you for those here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would be allowed to just have liberty in our presence. Lord, we want you to certainly have, center stage, and to be here in our midst and to do whatever it is you want to do. We don't want to push you out in any way, but we pray that you would work in our hearts and in our lives. You know what each and every one of us needs. You know the things that we're going through, and I pray that you would be pleased to minister to each and every heart. Draw us closer to you. Help us to understand and recognize that as we go through this life, that this life is full of a lot of offenses and injustices, and we're going to experience those things, and we certainly have in the past. I pray you'll help us to have the mind of Christ as we meet those situations so that we could respond in a Christ-like manner. And we know that if we do and we honor you, that it'll affect people, and ultimately it'll bring some people to Christ. So help us, Lord, to walk with you each and every day and to allow you to do in our lives whatever it is that you choose. So we just pray that Christ would be lifted up tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you'd use me. I praise you once again for this opportunity now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First of all, we see in that verse 15, this is how really to shut a fool's mouth, and that is to suffer. While you're suffering, do right, because that's what verse 15 is saying. He's saying right here, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence. You'll just kind of shut the mouths of some individuals that, that are fools. That you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men when we choose to do right. Verse 16 talks about that, again, we have these liberties that the Lord has given to us, and yet we're not to take our liberties and taking advantage of those liberties for our benefit, for the things that, for our pleasures. I mean, we're blessed enough, and God blesses us in so many ways, but we're to take what God has given to us and use it for Him. Use this liberty in Christ for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're told to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We're to honor those whom God has commanded us to honor. That is what God has laid out very, very clearly. And then we see in verses 18 and 19 about servants, about those who work for somebody else. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. It's easy to work for somebody who's nice and kind, and somebody who's benevolent, and somebody that gives you bonuses, and somebody that, you know, is just a caring individual. You know, praise the Lord if you've had opportunities to work for somebody like that. We ought to give them, we ought to go the extra mile for somebody like that. Amen? But we ought to go the extra mile for somebody who is not so kind to us. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. And we're going to go ahead and take a look at an Old Testament example here in just a moment. Is that not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, to somebody who's rebellious, somebody who's, you know, a difficult to deal with. You ever had to work for somebody that was difficult to deal with? Yeah, I see a lot of head shaking. And, you know, it's easy just to get sharp back at somebody who's sharp with you. Somebody who is not considerate of maybe a job that you do. Somebody who can be rude. Somebody who, just doesn't recognize maybe an effort that you're putting forth. And here you are just working hard to just be an honor. I mean, to honor the Lord and to be a blessing to the Lord. And then you've got a boss that is really stinkery. That's a tough one, because that really grates the old nature, doesn't it? Yeah, I can see some reactions and some faces here tonight, because I think we've all been put in those situations. But God allows us to be in these situations not by accident, amen? Because He's looking for us to make a difference. And if we choose to walk with the Lord and you know, in our prayers, we say, Lord, whatever it is you bring to me today, I want to just do well for you. I want to walk with you, and I want to please you, and I want to honor you. And I know that I may get some resistance. I may get some rude responses. I may get some poor treatment from a boss, or whatever it might be. Help me to rise above that and allow me to be able to honor Christ with a good attitude. Have you ever prayed anything like that? Yeah, many of you have. Anybody just have a quick testimony about, you know, maybe how the Lord helped you when maybe up until that time you were struggling and failing, and then you finally gave it to the Lord, and the Lord put just a different spirit in your heart, and you came through that, and you're like, how was I able to do that? Well, the Lord gave you a different spirit, didn't He? Any quick testimony? I'm just throwing it out there. I don't do that all the time. So this is a great opportunity if you want to just give a quick testimony. All right. No offers. Yes, Estella. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He totally changed you. Huh? Yeah. Wow, that's great. That almost looked like this was staged, like I had got, and it wasn't. I mean, thank you. That's just tremendous. That's exactly what we're talking about. Because, you know, we're human, and we can gravitate so easily to the old nature. And I've talked about it before. I have a struggle with somebody who's just, you know, not grateful for, they don't say thank you, or they don't, you know, there's a part of you that just wants to, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and you get a little angry. So we don't like that. But that's exactly what we're talking about, and that is just simply learning to just go to the Lord and let him, you know, work in our hearts and our lives, and let him, you know, make the difference. Let him change us, because it has to be him. And again, you know, God puts us in those situations to make a difference. But we've got to learn how to pray and seek his face, or else we're just going to be no different from anybody else. And then that's again verses 18 and 19. 19, I'll read that as well. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If we handle it the right way and are pleasing unto the Lord, when we're going through a tough time, just like Estella said, when she was going through that and going home in tears and just falling on her knees, you know, and just asking the Lord to forgive her for, you know, how she felt toward this boss. But God honored that, and he blessed that. And when we approach it the same way, and look at it in the light of, Lord, there's something here you're trying to teach me. You know, because we want to think, or our first thought is, God, work on that person's heart. They need to change. They need to, and the Lord's saying, no, I want to work on you to eventually work on them. And if we'll take that approach and be thankful, then God can do some great, great things. And verse 20, we see that the impact that is made when we do that. For what glory is it, again, when ye be buffeted, or, buffeted means to be smitten. So to take it, you know, to take a verbal tongue lashing from somebody, or inconsiderateness, or whatever it might be, buffeted in a number of ways for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. He said, well, what glory is in that? I mean, if in all your faults you take it patiently, well, no, that's not what we're talking about here. He's saying, no, I'm not going to bless you if you haven't risen above to the level that I'm calling you to. That's why he says in the last part, but if, when you do well, means when you do the right thing, and when you honor the Lord and suffer for it, you take it patiently. When you learn to take that patiently, this is acceptable with God. When we have that right spirit about us, when we go through something that is very, very tempting to us to want to respond and to get mad, and we don't do it, we hold back and we say, Lord, help me. I don't want to lose my temper. I want to take it patiently. I don't want to have a bad, bitter spirit toward this person. Will you help me? We need the Lord's help. And it demands prayer that we do that. We've got to beg the Lord to help us not to go down that road, because that's just not a good road to go down. And the further you go down that road, the further it is to have to come back again. So, boy, take that as just some good old counsel. You don't want to go down a long road of bitterness and of anger and, you know, all of that towards somebody. And so let's take a look real quick at a great example of this is, and there are many examples in the Bible, but I love Joseph and his character, and we see the things that happened to him, he didn't allow it to sour his spirit. Now, he was human, and no doubt he probably had a rough time with his brothers when they, you know, when they turned into being traitors and got rid of them, and they were practically ready to kill him, although Reuben saved him. So that's one little good note for Reuben. Not a whole lot of other good things. But, look, just take a look real quick in Genesis 39. Genesis 39, there's just a great example of Joseph. We'll just take a look at a couple of things that took place with him. Genesis 39, You know, it wasn't a good thing for Dad to give him that coat of many colors, right? Just probably a mistake there. It probably set him at odds. It certainly did with his brothers. But there in Genesis 39, we take a look. Verse 1 says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt." This was after he was betrayed by his brothers, and they sold him off to some Midianite merchantmen. And they had cast him into that pit. They were going to kill him, but they spared his life. And it says that he was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. All right, then we'll just jump over for time's sake here. We'll go to verses 17 through 21. And it says that, he had been working for Potiphar. And, Potiphar saw... Well, let's take a look at verse 3 and 4. Then I'll go to 17. It says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." Now, why did that happen? Because Joseph just did the right thing. And Joseph just honored God. Joseph could have been... this man's servant and slave with a bad attitude. "I hate my brothers. Why would they do that? Why did you let this happen to me, God?" And he didn't do that. He took it in stride. He determined he was going to serve God, and he was going to do it with a good spirit. So obviously, he did it with a good spirit. And God blessed him and made him prosperous in everything that he did. And so Potiphar said, "This is a unique young Hebrew man, and I'm going to go ahead and give him more responsibilities, because everything that Joseph seemed to touch just seemed to be blessed." And so he got more responsibilities, more that was given to him. And that was a compliment, because of the fact that he just had a great spirit about him. So I'll just say this. Listen, you may be put into a situation where you feel like, what am I doing here? I shouldn't even be here. Somebody did me wrong, and you can harbor those thoughts and those emotions, that pent-up anger, and it'll just keep you, it'll just keep you hamstrung for the longest time. You won't get anywhere until you and I learn how to give these things to the Lord, and then seek the Lord's face and ask him to help us to have a right spirit and to forgive anybody that we've that we are harboring bad emotions or feelings toward. So then you look at verse 17 through 21, you remember Potiphar's wife and what she did. And so it says here in verse 17, "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to..." And it says here in verse 18, "And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." This was Potiphar's wife speaking. "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." So here he tosses him into the prison. I mean, he could have had him killed, but God was sparing him. And maybe part of it was, maybe Potiphar kind of knew his wife a little. Got to keep peace in the home, right? But anyway, here we go again. Joseph now goes down several more rungs on the ladder. He was betrayed by his brothers, and now this accusation, which wasn't true, and now he's now in a prison. And then it says here in verses 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Well, you don't just hand it over to any old prisoner, but you hand it over to a prisoner that you see something different. There was something special about this young man. He had a great spirit about him. He had a great attitude. And it says here, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And so we see, and we could continue to go on with Joseph's life, but you know how that all played out, and how God used Joseph and promoted him. And, you know, interpreting the dreams, and then eventually being taken up to the throne as one of the rulers in Egypt. And God blessed him because Joseph did right. And, you know, we're not about to say that Joseph was perfect. There's nobody perfect in this Bible except the Lord Jesus Christ. But Joseph honored God and did right. And God blessed him. He did right in the face of a lot of injustices. You talk about somebody that maybe had the right to become angry and incensed and become bitter. It would have been Joseph. But Joseph chose not to do that. Joseph was patient. He endured patiently the suffering that he was going through. That's what Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about going through trials and going through an injustice patiently and not blowing your top, but just simply committing it unto God. And again, it might be something small. Sometimes it's those little things. You know, the Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines, you know, and a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. Sometimes those little, tiny little things are the ones that eventually get you. You know, it's like being attacked by a swarm of gnats, all right? Sometimes that can be just as effective as a big mean dog chasing you. I mean, you know, and those little things, if we let those little things mount up, they can cause great problems for us. So it might be a little bit of, you know, of anger and bitterness. We got to catch it right then. You know, you got to nip it in the bud and take care of it before it really flourishes. And Joseph, again, was a great example of somebody who had done that. Now, then we go on here back to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we see that that's what that passage really is speaking about, and that is doing the right thing, obviously honoring those that we're to honor, but having a right spirit, especially when we're going through some difficulties, having a right attitude. And then we see that the second point, this last point for tonight, is just as the Lord Jesus Christ did, because we had these verses that we read this morning in our scripture reading, that the Lord Jesus Christ certainly came first and foremost to be our sacrifice, to pay the price for our sins when he went to the cross. But also, up until then, he was certainly an example for us too. He set an example. And we see that right here in verses 21 all the way through 25, but I'll read 21 through 24 because we're going to see that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was a great example for us. It says here in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called." Okay, so we were called to do what those previous verses told us about, suffering injustices patiently. That's what we're called unto. And it says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." I like the way that that's phrased, that we're to follow his steps. Wasn't it a guy by the name of Charles Sheldon that said he was going to, that he set out an assignment for himself, that what would Jesus do? Wasn't that the fella? I'm looking at Roxanne. Is that his name? Charles Sheldon? I don't know if it came from this, but he was going to just, whatever Christ would do, whatever Christ would do in a situation, that's what he was bent on doing. Anyway, I don't know, I didn't write that down or search that out, but I think that that's who that was. It says that we should follow his steps, the example that Christ set before unbelievers and before the disciples. It says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, and committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He committed himself unto the Father, is what he had done. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I'll stop right there. The Lord did this exactly. He suffered wrongfully many, many times. And the disciples had to, have, on many occasions, probably taken notes on watching their Lord and Savior and how he handled situations, how he handled violent crowds. You know, the Lord never, never tried to get even. He never tried to lash back. In fact, I want us to take a look at Romans chapter 12 and take a look at this passage right here. In Romans chapter 12, when Paul was writing to the Romans, it says here toward the end of the chapter, we'll take a look at verse 14 and then 17 through 21. We'll just take a look at verse 14 that says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." That looks like that came right out of the Sermon on the Mount. And then verse 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible," I love the way that how that's phrased, "if it be possible, as much as lieth in you," as much as you're capable of, with the Lord's help even, "live peaceably with all men." And you're thinking there are just some people that it's just almost impossible. Well, I think that's why it's phrased that way. Maybe sometimes we're difficult to live with at times. No amens out there, huh? Okay. You didn't want to indict yourself, incriminate yourself. And then it says here, "Dearly beloved," in verse 19, "avenge not yourselves." And we know that. We see that in God's word over and over. "But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It's just good for us to stand back and say, "Lord, I don't want to try to get revenge on this person. I don't want to try to get a pound of flesh because of what they've done to me. I'm just going to give it to you and let you deal with it." That's a good step right there if we do that. And if we'll just learn to give it to the Lord, then the Lord will take care of it. Now, it says here in verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." I always wondered at that, and I've never really come to a total full understanding of all of that. But some have said that, you know, in cultures where they walked around and kept baskets on their head to carry things around, that maybe sometimes they went around and, their hearth at the home was getting low on coals, and so they went around trying to get a little help, and then you think, that's a wicked guy, but I'm going to go ahead and heap some coals on his head. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's it, and be a blessing to this guy. That's been put forth as an explanation. I don't know. But I do know one thing. It just sounds like not a good thing to do to somebody when you just read it. Heap coals of fire? I thought we were supposed to feed our enemies, and if they're thirsty, to give them drink. And now it says to throw heaps of coals on their heads. Well, it's a good thing, okay? But I don't totally understand the full meaning, and I don't know that too many people do. But it's a good thing. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." It's just good to respond in the right way. I heard when C.H. Spurgeon was a young preacher, he walked back and forth to his church. I think it was a country church before he took over the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. He had a church that he first pastored in, and he walked back and forth, and somebody said on his walk, they said, "I don't know if you know on that," they pointed out a house, "I don't know if you've ever seen that lady," and he said, "No," but he said, "you will one day if you keep walking back and forth, and she's the meanest woman in town." And so C.H. Spurgeon, as a young preacher, you know, he's probably 18, 19, and he walking back and forth. And that lady came out one day, and she saw him, and maybe she knew who he was. I don't really know, but she just started to lay into him. "Who do you think?" And I mean, not good language. And she just threw it right at him, and he just looked at her and responded and said, "Thank you, I am doing well." And then, you know, she took aback. She was taken aback. And then she went forth with a whole nother string of expletives. I mean, she just threw a whole bunch of things at him, a lot of bad things. And he said, "Yes, Yes, it does look like it's going to rain. Have a great day. And he heard her say, that man's as deaf as a post. No good talking to him. But I liked his response. He wouldn't give her anything to get a hold of. You know, there's times when people can be really rude to us, and the best thing to do is just to smile and just have a good response toward them. Amen? And that'll make people think. Well, it'll just make them think about how rude they were, and it may just do something. That's why the Lord says, avenge not yourselves. Give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Since the Lord's going to repay. And if we just, you know, have a good response and a smile, then God will use that in a tremendous way. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned. Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He never retaliated, as verse 23 says, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, we saw in Philippians today in chapter 2, in verse 15, that we're to be blameless and harmless as Christians. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was that. He is the Lamb of God. And you know, it says about him, in fact, let's turn to Matthew, and you could turn to Matthew 12, and then we're going to go to Matthew 26 from there. But we'll see a little bit about how the Lord, well, what was said about him, first of all, and then how he responded. So we see that he is our example in that way. So in Matthew chapter 12, this was prophesied of him by Isaiah way back. And it says this about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 17 of Matthew 12 and verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and that's Isaiah, and it says this, behold my servant, this is speaking of Christ, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. So what that's saying about him, he's going to just be gentle. He's going to be meek and lowly. And then it says here, a bruised reed shall he not break. Even a compromised reed, you know, a stalk, a reed, he won't even break that because of his gentleness. That's the picture that is trying to give. And smoking flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. Now, there will be a day when he is going to return, and he's going to be, we refer to him, and he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and we read a lot about that in the Old Testament. But his first coming was not that way. And he gave us a great example of just being meek and lowly and gentle. And that's what it's saying right there. And then it says in verse 21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So he came as the Lamb of God, and he will come again as the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. So we see that that's what we're called to be, is to be as our Savior, to be blameless and harmless, as we read in Philippians 2 today. And then also that we're to be kind. And so we look at Matthew 26 now. We'll go over in Matthew here to Matthew 26. And verses 59 through 67. Let's just take a look through that. Verses 59 through 67 says, now the chief priest, this was right before the Lord was going to be crucified for us. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it that which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. And they did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. Can you imagine that? The brutality that he experienced and that he suffered at the hands of these wicked men. And then you take a look at chapter 27 of Matthew and verses 11 through 14, and it says that, And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. And then verses 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Can you just imagine that? This is the one who spoke the worlds into existence. By the word of his mouth were the heavens made. Jesus Christ is the great creator. Do you think it was a problem for him to just vaporize them in a heartbeat? I don't know that it would even have come to his mind. He knew what he was going to do. But look what he could have done. I mean, he could have just made them dead. He just could have taken their lives right then, but he suffered all of that. And as it says in 1 Peter, when he reviled not again. And when he was threatened, he didn't threaten back. He took it. He took it for us. What does it Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 say? What a great passage. It says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. It was joy in his heart to go through all of that brutality that he experienced and that he suffered because he wanted to go to the cross, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm so glad that the Lord was that he endured it patiently. And what does he say for us to do? To do likewise. To endure it patiently. For folks, he died for us on the cross. And now, as verse 24 says back in 1 Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, now that we're saved, being dead to sins. That's what we are. That's a statement that's positional, certainly, but I mean, that's what's true of us, is we're dead to sins. If you go into Romans chapter 6, it says we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's how we're to walk in this life, is that, listen, the Lord put away that sin, we're forgiven of it, and really it has no power over us. The problem is that we go back to it all the time. We go back to it like dogs go back to their you-know-what, right? And that's just how we are. But we're to live unto righteousness, and we're to live for him. So what was the purpose now of all of that that led up to this? Well, this next verse puts it really all into perspective as we finish up with this in verse 25. Well, let me read Isaiah 53:6 first. And that verse says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us were like sheep that had gone astray. But Jesus took our place on the cross and died for us that we could be saved. Amen? And that's what verse 25 says. For ye were as sheep going astray. but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Those are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the shepherd, and he is the true bishop of our souls. We are returned to him because he saved us. We were on our way to hell, but he rescued us. We were as sheep gone astray. So he went through all of that and endured all that suffering wrongfully at the hands of wicked men. Why? Because he wanted to go to that cross for you and I. And so now, what does he say to us? He says to us, I want you to live after my example. And that is to learn how to endure, suffering. Whether it's at a small scale and somebody says something to you and it's not very kind, it's to learn how to respond the right way. To learn how to smile, learn how to brush it off. That would heap coals of fire on people's heads. When we just do something that is unexpected, when we do something that's unexpected in the right way. And the way that we're going to do that, folks, is walking along on praying ground, right? I mean, when we're praying and asking the Lord to help us to do the right thing. Because, we all have responded in the flesh, and it's kind of an ugly thing, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, it happens, it's happened in my car a lot of times, okay, when people drive by and do bad things, okay, and they cut you off. Listen, the old nature's there, but if we'll learn to walk with the Lord, we can respond in the right way. We can respond to an angry boss, to an inconsiderate boss. We can respond to a bank teller that's just rude and short with us. We can deal with situations. Listen, we got to deal with ourselves anyway because we're far from perfect. And we got a lot of holes in our own armor. But there are things out there that the Lord wants us to learn how to deal with them patiently, how to respond in the right way. That's really what that lesson is about here as we finished up chapter 2 is to do right. Because listen, there are those that are watching, and we can have a profound effect upon them. At least the Lord through us can have an effect on them when they see something different in our lives. Amen? With that, let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads, and we'll go before the Lord in prayer. And with our heads bowed, let me just say this. Now, maybe God has spoken to your heart about, maybe some things that you're facing, maybe some things that you've recently responded to, and maybe you didn't respond the proper way. Well, listen, that's every one of us. My hand will go up with that. But we don't have to on a consistent basis respond that way. We can respond in a way that is honoring to the Lord, and we can do things that are pleasing unto him. So with that, before we pray, with your heads bowed, let me just ask you this question. How many of you would say, Pastor Garcia, please pray for me because, I see that old nature in me. And when I have to deal with rude people and people that are very inconsiderate, maybe somebody that I work with on a regular basis, just like we heard in that testimony a little bit earlier, then I'm really prone to respond not in the best way. And I want to respond the best way. Would you please pray for me? Is there any hands like that? You'd say, I want the Lord to help me. God bless you. There are so many of you. Listen, that's every one of us. We want the Lord to help us to do what's right because it would bring honor to him. And one day when we're in the judgment seat of Christ, I think the Lord's going to bring that up. I think the Lord's going to show us clearly those times when we just committed our lives unto him, and he'll honor us with that. See, I just want to note that when you were going through some rough times, that you took it patiently and you trusted me and I was able to work through you. Wouldn't that be great to one day hear that from the Lord? I really want to hear that from the Lord. And so may we be determined that we'll just trust him. Now, maybe tonight, if you're here without Christ and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, then I certainly want to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can certainly come down, step out in the aisle, come forward. Somebody here can show you from the Bible how you can be saved, because that's the most important thing, is that we know that we have eternal life. So with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for you being an example for us. We know, Lord, you're our great Savior, and you died on the cross for our sins, but you also set an example about how you responded to many different kinds of situations and to wicked men when they treated you so horribly and how you responded. Lord, help us to be able to just simply yield and submit our hearts to you so that we can respond the proper way in difficult situations. Help us to do that. Help us to look at great examples in the Bible like Joseph and Daniel and Abraham and David and so many others that in the midst of difficult times, they responded in a godly way. Help us to do that. So we praise and thank you. We ask, Lord, that you just work in our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a hymn.